Supreme Court has blocked the subpoena for Trump's financial records, at least a temporary block. And then there was another victory regarding tax returns in California for the president last week, and I just didn't get a chance to get to it. It was one of those things I had in my pile, but other things came up that were more important. But together, these stories seem to go well, so we'll cover that. We've got State Senator Eric Burleson. He'll be joining us a little later in the hour. Also, Don Luzader, he is here with the latest news.
Well, we'll be keeping a close watch on the skies this evening in the Ozarks. The National Weather Service says severe storms are possible this evening. Looks like right now the greatest threat for severe weather is going to be along and east of Highway 65. Locally damaging wind gusts and a few brief tornadoes are possible, and these storms are going to be moving very rapidly to the east and northeast at speeds of 55 to 75 miles per hour. So if there is a warning issued for your area, don't wait to take shelter. State and local leaders may have come up with some ideas to reduce violent crime in the state's largest cities, including Springfield. Governor Parson met with mayors and police chiefs on Monday. The idea is to keep guns away from minors, domestic abusers, and violent offenders. Parson says he thinks lawmakers could pass some changes despite strong support for gun rights.
Like coal miners or?
No, let's see. No, the people under 21. Yes.
It seemed unfair to target that particular industry.
The 22nd-ranked Missouri State Lady Bears beat South Dakota 74-66 in a tough road contest. Lady Bears are killing it. They're 6-1 on the year. They'll take on UMKC Sunday afternoon at JQH Arena. That is the latest news.
KTTS First Alert Forecast, sponsored by Anchor Tactical Supply. That wind advisory. So today, a 20% chance of showers, thunderstorms. High of 67. Shower storms likely tonight, 35. Mostly sunny, 48 tomorrow. Thanksgiving, rain, showers. Rain and snow showers, likely before 8 a.m., then rain with a high of 41, and Friday showers 56. 54 cloudy here at the KSGF studios. The Supreme Court blocking a subpoena for Trump financial records. The ruling blocks the House subpoena directing Trump's accounting firm to turn over financial documents, giving the president a temporary legal victory. They blocked that late yesterday. In a brief order, the court said the subpoenas would remain on hold until the president's lawyers file their appeal and the court acts on the case. The court gave his lawyers until December 5th to file their appeal, assigned the justices intend to move quickly, but if the court agrees to hear the appeal, the stay would remain in effect for several more months. Now, at the same time, California decided to create this special rule, it clearly was, aimed at President Trump, that all of a sudden declared, well, if you don't give us your tax returns, the people of California will not have the right to vote for you. And a lower court said, you can't do that. And California said, well, we're going to do it anyway. And so they took it to a higher court. Well, the Supreme Court ruled unanimously Thursday. This was last Thursday, that you can't do that. The law, the first of its kind in the nation and aimed squarely at Trump, violates a specification of the state constitution calling for an inclusive, open presidential primary ballot. Ultimately, according to the 7-0 decision, it is the voters who must decide whether the refusal of a recognized candidate throughout the nation or throughout California for the office of President of the United States to make such information available to the public will have consequences at the ballot box. So that out in California, which was just such an odd move for Democrats, given that they are constantly going on and on about the right for people to vote. Right? How important it is. People be able to vote for the candidate they're choosing. Yet they were going to prevent the voters of California from voting or having the option to vote for President Trump if he didn't do what they wanted when it came to his personal tax returns. Guess not as concerned as one might think. A number of outlets, including ABC, are reporting that Schiff's committee has photos, audio, and video recordings from Rudy Giuliani associate Lev Parnas, some of which involve Trump and Giuliani. Oh, my, my, my. This is supposed to be somewhat of a bombshell report. Now, how many times have we been told since Trump got elected that there was some sort of video, some sort of audio, some sort of photo that was going to be the end of Trump? I mean, the Steele dossier put together by the Russians for the Hillary Clinton campaign supposedly had video of Trump urinating on that bed that the Obamas slept in. Omarosa supposedly had videotape of or audio of Trump using the N-word. Michael Cohen, remember when Michael Cohen, it came out that he recorded some of the conversations that he had with Trump? Oh, what will be on those? Does anybody remember what hearing any of these tape or seeing any of this stuff? So I'm not getting too excited at this point that this exclusive report that ABC broke, that there are videos and recordings of Trump and Giuliani. Oh, my goodness gracious. I suspect it'll turn out once again to be much ado about nothing because everything else has been. Oh, and this court ruling that Gann has to testify before Congress. This was Trump's the legal representation there in the White House. And he was one of many individuals that when the fake impeachment was going on and you know they were just, hey, would you come talk? And there were a number of them that said, no, I'm not going to, you know, no, I'm not going to do that. And so a judge, and this is going to be appealed, of course, challenged by the White House, that Gann has to testify. And so now they're in a big tizzy over this. Well, here, I'm going to make a prediction. If he does testify, it's going to go just about as well as all the other testimony has gone in this impeachment circus, if you will. Here's Bailey with traffic. I'm Nick Reed. State Senator Eric Burleson with us. How do you do?
Good. Every time I come here, I have to turn these headphones way
Don
down.
Luzader, he just cranks that.
Don has got hearing issues.
Because every single person who comes in here comments on that. Even if they're not putting his headphones on, they turn it down because it's so loud. He has it cranked all the way. But so the natural inclination is to suspect that he has poor hearing. I've never once heard him, though, ask anyone to repeat themselves. Like in a meeting or...
Do you whisper to him? Do you go, Don?
I'm going to maybe start doing that. Maybe he's a lip reader. He just doesn't want to let on.
Things.
Yeah, but I've never heard him say, you know, now come again, or I didn't hear that. He seems to have perfect hearing, yet I don't know, he drills that sound into his head. It is so loud.
I mean, you can feel it.
You can.
It's so loud.
I'm surprised that
I can hear it when I'm not, when they're like.
Well, that's the thing. It's distracting. Sometimes all people watch on Facebook Live, they may see me sometimes when he's not in here, I go turn it down. Because for people that don't know, listening to all of the headphones in here, they have their own volume control.
Right.
And Don always has his crank so dadgum loud that when he's not in here and
it's
he takes them off, yeah, it's just loud.
Yeah.
I mean, it's. I don't know what the deal is.
It's loud enough to talk about it on air.
Right. I keep saying I'm going to get some of those headphones for kids that they only go so loud, no matter how much you turn them up, just to see what happens. But Thanksgiving, just a couple days away. Is this a big event for you and your family?
You know, the nice thing is that both sides of the family are in the area, so we don't
have
to travel.
That does make it nice. Yeah.
Yes.
Where do you do it at your house? Do you do it at someone else's
house
in the family?
We do it at my parents and then my in-laws.
Oh, okay. So you go one or the other.
Yeah.
Now, do they have, this is all very important information.
Yes.
That's why I'm asking. So do they eat at the same time?
No. No, and it always has to, it's scheduling based on when other my brother's wife's family can do it and then we kind of line it up so that everybody can fit in their Thanksgivings.
Yeah.
So
whose is better? I'm kidding.
Wow.
Do you all so do you bring something? Do you
have
a designated
This year, we are bringing the turkey to my in-laws.
All right, so you're providing the big deal.
And my wife does most everything, so I don't know what we're bringing to my parents.
Okay.
I know we're bringing lots of desserts. She's you know, with her being in the candy and confection business.
Oh, sure.
She can create.
I imagine
knock something
so.
Out.
My wife does the turkey, and she does it like a tremendous job. And I recall one year she did it, and she was, and I think she had told me that she did something different. I don't remember what it was. But when I went to lift it out of the pan to the cutting board, because that's my contribution.
Yeah.
Besides
cutting,
drinking,
carving
is carving it, carving the turkey. And I lifted it up, and I mean, it just all fell off the bones. I could not believe it. I'd never seen it like that. I could not get it all in one piece. It was like trying to lift someone up who was
so
in a nuclear explosion or something.
You just lift it up and shake it.
It just all falls apart. Like, look at what a great job I did. Like pulled turkey instead of pulled pork. And then somebody always brings all these pies, but we hardly ever even touch them because we're so full anyway. And we're not necessarily, that's not our go-to. We're more savory than sweet.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, I saw this article. I didn't read the article, but a headline about how people are trending away from the traditional turkey and everything. And I don't know why. I mean, I guess if you want to, but.
Yeah, I will say that if I don't ever eat that type of meal, I don't ever go to a restaurant and say, what kind
turkey
of Thanksgiving dinner do you have on,
right.
on your menu? It's not something that you naturally choose as a course. I mean, if I want to eat something, I like steak. In fact, I mentioned that to my wife. I said, what if we did steak?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know that anybody would complain. But she's like, no.
The traditional.
It's tradition.
All right, fair enough. Who's going to argue? It's difficult to try and win that argument when you're the one that doesn't actually do anything.
Yeah. Now, I would love to do a fried turkey. I've had that before, and it's amazing.
I don't know that I've ever even had fried turkey. I don't think I have.
Yeah.
I'm not opposed to it. I've just never been anywhere where it was an offering.
I mean, just think about how good all other fried foods are.
Right.
Think of turkey.
That's a solid argument
now,
you got there.
We do, whenever I do wild turkey, I always batter dip it and fry it.
Okay. Why is that? Any particular reason?
Because generally you don't take a wild turkey, depluck it, not depluck it.
Just pluck it?
Deplucking would be putting the feathers
put it
back in.
But
you don't take a wild turkey and pluck it and then throw it in the oven. Or like you do turkeys, you generally just breast them out.
Okay.
And then and that meat is not, I mean, maybe I've never tried it side by side, but the meat is generally a little drier.
Okay.
So
with the wild, you mean,
right,
versus
with the wild
okay.
turkey. So what I do is, you know, is cut it into bite-sized chunks, batter dip it and fry it.
So do you nothing with the dark meat then?
No, there's not much.
Is it not?
It's really not that much worth it.
State Senator Eric Burleson with us. Coming up, we'll talk a little bit about impeachment, I'd say.
Yay.
I know you saw this Democratic congresswoman who was all for it. She said, no, I don't think we should do it now. I think we should censure him. Did you see this?
No,
so,
I haven't
yeah,
seen
this
that.
Yeah, this is Fox News is
starting to peel off.
Yeah, they are starting. I'll tell you my theory here coming up and get your thoughts on it. With State Senator Eric Burleson, I'm Nick Reed. All right, now I got to find this story. There's I'm not familiar with her, but she is a... Oh, I want to talk to you about this story, too. A Democratic woman, a congresswoman from Michigan. She represents the eastern part of Detroit, and she has come out. Now, she was all for impeachment, and now it was Sunday. She said on some radio station up there that she no longer saw the value in it, he wouldn't be convicted anyway, and so they should censure him in order to put a marker down that they did their job and show that his behavior is unacceptable and so forth. Now, what I think is happening, and this is a woman, she's in a very safe district, very safe.
Oh, she's not.
She's not.
She's not one of those. Correct. That's like trying to worry about her seat.
So I think though that this is a trial balloon by someone who's in a safe area. So if it doesn't go well, they're not in real danger. She's not in real danger of losing her seat.
Right.
Probably not in any real danger of any sort of primary, less so than somebody who is more vulnerable. So, because that was the first that you think, oh, is this somebody who's vulnerable to a potential loss because she represents an area that has strong Trump support, and it is quite the opposite. And I think that's probably why.
Yeah.
I think they're going to see how it all plays out, see what reaction is, and the messaging too.
Yeah.
It's a way to test that messaging of censure, and to see if that's. And what I've said is, if I want it out of this, do the censure, and I just blame it on Mitch McConnell and be like,
it's rigged. Clearly not going to.
Yeah, it's rigged, and Mitch McConnell already said that they wouldn't convict him anyway, and so it's unfortunate, but there's no point. That's what I would do to get out of this, because this is not going to go well for them.
Right. I think this whole backstory is what is interesting, and no one covers it, and I think that's why we're even talking about this, is that the Democratic Party knows that this is their underbelly, mm-hmm. that this is where they've been doing corruption, this is where they've been laundering political money for decades, and they've been hyper aware of anyone taking a look at this. And so the moment that people started looking at this, that's why everyone was paying attention.
Right.
If you think about it, the fact that so many people were very hype, like their antennas were up, paying very strict attention to what was being said and any conversations and who was being involved with any discussions in Ukraine, I think that it's because they all knew that was their Achilles. Mm-hmm. That's the Democratic Party's Achilles heel.
Yeah.
It's a big story that was waiting to blow. And the problem is, Trump, in a way, he kind of fumbled the ball. Mm. He kind of, in him being involved in any way, shape, or form, it fumbled the ball. Because
right.
that story, if it had come out by an actual news agency, if someone had actually done their job, which there's no real news agency anymore.
Right.
No investigation.
And Politico, I know, had done a piece a couple years prior about this whole thing, but nobody really was interested. So it's not like this was some made up deal.
Right.
But to your point, these mainstream news outlets, they just ignore it.
Kind of like Epstein, right?
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm, same thing.
No one would cover Epstein because why? Because it would do damage to the Democratic Party.
Right.
To people within the donors or the high end officials in the Democratic Party, or people that the Democrats generally like. Even when it came to Prince Andrew, mm-hmm. right? For some reason, that makes no sense to me, liberals love the British monarchy.
Yeah,
I don't get it. I don't know why, but they will go blasting Trump, and then they'll flip right around and talk about how great the British monarchy is. I don't know what the connection is.
You know, this idea that somehow it wasn't just wrong but impeachable for Trump to want this investigation that could have potentially involved Biden, that you can't do that because Biden is political opposition. Well, that right. so anyone who is the political opposition gets immunity from any investigation? I mean, how do you do that?
Right.
How on earth do you do that? Now, I agree, you can't, if you're in power, you can't falsely, use your power, sort of like Trump was set up through the FISA court. You can't do that. You can't illegally use your powers to set someone up to falsify evidence. But you can't say, oh, well, anyone who's political opposition to somebody in power has total immunity and can't be investigated for any.
Yeah, suddenly it's safe harbor. So it's like you might be under investigation. Well, I better run for office.
Right, exactly.
Therefore, I can't be investigated.
I mean, it's nuts. But people have, it's a combination of their irrational white-hot rage for Trump and the lack of critical thinking that lands them in this place where they think that that sounds reasonable to take that stance.
Well, I think throughout all the hearings, it really kind of broke apart. So you had the first two guys that were both just testifying on things that they heard other people say. And then you had the second day, you had the former ambassador who her only complaint was that she was upset about the way in which she was fired.
Yeah.
And that she wasn't allowed to be extended long enough to serve out her full term. So she was just basically a disgruntled employee. Mm-hmm. And whenever they discussed the issue, she really had no knowledge, no firsthand knowledge. It was from her background and experience what she thought might have happened.
Mm-hmm. They keep just saying, well, mountain of evidence. The only individual, which was Sondland, who said he actually had a conversation about what do you want from Ukraine with Trump, and he acknowledged Trump said nothing. I don't want anything
That guy is such a... Sorry. That was such a screwball.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what... I watched that testimony. Mm. I could not make up what in the world this guy... what his experience was, what his world... He was a total enigma to me. He made no sense whatsoever. Because on one hand, he was saying everyone knew.
Right.
But then when he was pressed, he was saying, this is what I made up.
Right.
This is what I gathered from all of the input.
Well, and here's what I believe happens, and this was crafted this way. He gives an opening statement and releases it ahead of time saying, oh, yeah, there was quid pro quo. Everyone knows it. So it hits the headlines. He's very vague in that, saying, yeah, everyone knew it. Then Adam Schiff gets to go out and do a press conference saying, we have testimony from...
We have the smoking gun.
Saying that everyone knew it. But then once all that... then Republicans get to... And they're like, well, did you actually... Well, no, I didn't hear. I didn't say that. I mean, he even said, I never said that. Right. You know, and so the first part was worded in a way that allowed them to go out and falsely claim that there was proof of a quid pro quo. We've got to get Bailey with traffic. We got Don Luzader with news. More with
Wait,
State
let me
Senator
turn up his headphones.
Eric Burr coming up next. I'm Nick Reed. Don Luzader with news.
Good morning. A period of scattered strong to severe storms is expected early this evening into tonight in the Ozarks. This is going to be along and ahead of a cold front. Looks like the main risk will be damaging winds. However, because of these strong winds that are going to be in place, a brief tornado will be possible. It looks like if we do get some hail, the hail should be nickels or smaller. Now, once those storms even move through, there are going to be strong surface winds behind that front. The strongest winds will occur with gusts of 45 to 55 miles an hour. Some of those could go late tonight into early tomorrow morning. Springfield police investigating a crash that caused an ambulance to roll over. A lieutenant says the ambulance was running code when it got to the intersection of Grand and Campbell. A truck was heading westbound on Grand, and the ambulance could not accelerate enough to avoid the pickup truck. There were minor injuries to passengers in the truck, but no one was transported to the hospital. We have photos from the scene at KSGF.com. And that is the latest news.
The KTTS First Alert Forecast, sponsored by Anchor Tactical Supply. That wind advisory, a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms today with a high of 67. Showers, thunderstorms likely overnight down to 35. Mostly sunny, 48 tomorrow. Rain and snow, showers likely before 8 a.m. on Thanksgiving with a high of 41. It's 55 now at the KSGF studios. So I wanted to read some of the, and I talked about this earlier in the show, State Senator Eric Burleson with us. There have been two new polls out with likely voters, Rasmussen and Emerson. And Rasmussen report shows that amongst likely African-American voters, President Trump has 34% approval. And Emerson shows that President Trump among black registered voters has 34.5% approval. Now, of course, he won 8%. Romney had 6. Bush was considered an anomaly with 11. And Real Clear Politics last year did analysis saying that if Trump ever broke 20, it would be over for Democrats. So he's polling these two separate polls, 34, 35% among African-American likely voters.
Well, they finally figured out the truth, yeah. which is that the Democratic Party is only rhetoric and has only paid lip service to the African-American community and doesn't, I mean.
Well, and I remember when Trump was running and he would go to Milwaukee. He would go to, I think he went to Chicago. He would go and to predominantly black audiences. And he was mocked by the left. Republicans said, why are you even bothering? And he said, I think we can get some of, you know. And he did something that, at least in my lifetime, no Republican has really ever done like he did. You know, I mean, there may be right. some African-American, you know, a very specific conservative African-American organization. But Trump just, you know. Whatever, you know, it didn't matter what political affiliation would go and court them. And I think the you know, that has made a difference. I don't think that's the sole reason, but I think for the first time, somebody is actually not just writing them off or taking them for granted.
And I'm gonna be so bold as to say Trump is basically not dehumanizing them.
Right, absolutely.
He's saying, you know, they want what, I mean, the Democratic Party has been stereotyping and talking down to the African-American mm-hmm. community for decades, right? Mm-hmm. And here is a guy who comes along and says, they aren't any, let's not do that. Let's,
right. Treat them like everyone else.
Everyone else who wants a destiny, who wants a job, who wants a career, who wants a path, who wants to create a family, create opportunity for themselves, who wants prosperity, right? And so that's the way that Trump talks to
yeah,
them.
Yeah, just like everyone else.
He, you know what
he doesn't pander.
He doesn't pull hot sauce out of his purse.
Right. He doesn't put on a fake accent.
Right.
All
Which
of these.
Which is just so racist if you think about it.
Yeah.
If you think about it, if you want to say, if you want to talk about the party of racism. Mm.
And stereotyping and.
Right. But, I mean. But the Republican Party has been the party of opportunity. That's what we should continue to hold on to, is that we're the party of equal opportunity for all. Right?
Yeah, the Emerson poll also shows that 38.2% of Hispanics now approve of Trump. That's up. He had wait, let's see here. 28%.
And he did
vote.
That without speaking Spanish.
I know, right? And being a racist. Because isn't it amazing that this guy is a total racist, can have a 10% higher approval rating amongst Hispanics than actually voted for him, and a going on 4 or 5 times the amount of African-American right. support than what's voted for him?
It just is awesome because... Again, you watch these Democratic debates. How many times do they trip over themselves to try to spin out some Spanish phrase?
I know.
To try to win over that segment of the population? Because Democrats view people in segments. They view them as those, you know, either racially divided.
Categorize them.
They view them in that way. And that's what's brilliant and what's amazing about, and I hope that our party continues to stay in this vein, is that we don't see it that way.
Yeah.
That we see people all want the same thing. Mm. They want those opportunities regardless of race and gender and all of that.
When Trump first, when he was running and he began going into these areas that Republicans never even bothered to go, at least on a national level, I thought if this is going to be successful, it's got to be done in a way that's not trying to outdo Democrats. In other words, categorizing based on skin color and saying, oh, here are the goodies I'll give you because of your skin color. But instead, right. point out, look, these policies are good for everybody. These are good for everybody. We don't have to pigeonhole you. We don't have to say, well, you get this separate thing because you're separate than everyone else. But these policies are going to help everyone. And I think that's what's happening here with you know, some of these results we're seeing. And I also think that there may be this component. I remember reading a number of editorials when Clinton was president about the loyalty that the African-American community had for Clinton. And a lot of people attributed that to the fact that Clinton was seen as a guy that everyone's always coming down on, particularly during the impeachment,
okay.
And that a lot of people in the African-American community have been conditioned by media and Democrats to feel as if they also were always being come down on. And so they felt that he was relatable. And I don't know if that were the case then, that Trump may not enjoy some of that camaraderie, if mm-hmm. you will, that they see here's a guy that's an outsider that comes in and all they see is, man, he's just getting pounded all the time like we are, you know, if there isn't if that was a true way of reality for Clinton, then I could see that applying with Trump as well.
Yeah, I've got to
it's gotta drive
him
nuts though.
I don't think any other candidate could have handled what Trump has handled the last
absolutely not
2.5 years, 3 years.
I mean, who would? And I've had a number of people say that to me, some who necessarily weren't the biggest supporters of his, saying that there's never, ever been anyone that has sacrificed so and just nonstop. And for what? It's not like an Obama or like a lot of people who run. This is part of who they are running mm-hmm. for office.
Right.
That... they've gotten to a certain point in life where that's the brass ring, being president. And so
he doesn't need this.
No.
He could go live the life.
I mean, he doesn't need any of this. I mean, all of this grief that he's gotten.
Right.
He's
already got enough money. He's got the fame, the glory. Before he ran for office, he was loved by most people.
Right. Like, and all of that, I mean, is gone. And his, mm-hmm. I mean, just constant threat of lawsuits and everything else, and he doesn't say, well, screw this. He just keeps going.
Yeah.
I don't know what he drinks in the morning, but more with Senator Eric Burleson coming up. I'm Nick Reed. State Senator Eric Burleson with us. To your point about Democrats desperate for anybody to sort of show up and they all go, oh, that's the one. There's a lot of chatter today because I guess on his show last night, Tucker Carlson said that, well, Michelle Obama could be the one. And I just don't see, I don't even know that, I don't think she could win anyway necessarily. But I don't think that she really has any desire. They are so, it's clear they love money. They've really demonstrated that. I mean, sign in every deal they can with Netflix and books and T-shirts and
right.
pencils and every. I mean, just anything and everything they can put their name on and get money for. They're doing it, buying multi-million-dollar mansion, and this from a guy who once scolded Americans that you only need so much money. It's
right.
clear that they have a new liking for it. I just can't imagine them wanting to give. They love it too much.
Yeah,
to go. Oh yeah, let's give all that up.
I don't know. I don't think that she has a chance.
I don't think she would either. I mean, I just.
Well, I think that they have a lot to lose.
Oh yeah. Well, so that's what I mean, especially money wise.
If she steps in and doesn't do well in the polls, suddenly that's a really poor. Suddenly, it soured the public's image of that.
Yeah,
family.
It taints it a little bit.
Right.
That's true. Yeah,
they're not the
infallible,
people that they once were. I don't know. I think you're right that they've got a pretty amazing opportunity right now. You know, if you really want to change culture, you do so in storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
You could throw out facts all day, and I'm a big fan of facts. I think facts win a debate, but you don't change minds with facts. You change them. It was either Plato or Aristotle that used the phrase, ethos, logos, pathos, mm-hmm. and pathos is what really kind of changes minds, which is the appeal to the, mm-hmm. the emotional appeal. And that is, so the Obamas are getting these contracts with Netflix to tell stories. Well, when you frame the story in the way in which you want people to see the perspective from which you want to see it, it to be framed, you can change people's minds on a subject. And that's what they're doing. They're telling stories from the perspective, for example, of the union workers, mm-hmm. right, at a manufacturing factory. And they're trying to get you to have an emotional appeal to not just the perspective of those workers, but of the bosses, the mm-hmm. people that are that have that paradigm. What you're not seeing is the greater world, the greater picture, which is the impact outside mm-hmm. of that. So the fact that you've got people that are across the board, whether they're union or not, are impacted by those decisions. And so it's all in who's telling the story. And the Obamas are smart, and they figured out that if they want to change culture, they need to be storytellers. And conservatives need more storytellers.
Yeah.
And, you know, we don't, the media, whether it's through movies, television, television shows, Netflix, all of that stuff. It's who controls the arts is who changes the culture. And we don't generally, you know, people of conservative mind don't generally are not artistic.
Yeah.
And they don't get involved.
Well, and they're, because I talk about it a lot, you know, results, facts. And so there is this laser focus generally conservatives have on reality. You know, the flowery stuff, you know, and it's the great frustration that they oftentimes suffer is, you know, what reality, this is reality, but that's not as fun sometimes. It's not as emotionally right. engaging as storytelling.
Right. But we've got to get better at storytelling.
Yeah. More State Senator Eric Burleson coming up here on Springfield's News Talk FM 104.1 KSGF. I'm Nick Reed. You're going to probably have either some guests over at your house or you're going to be at someone else's house. And this is a time of the year oftentimes people decide, you know what, we need a bigger home or we need a smaller home. Emily Johnson Rhodes Real Estate, before you take step one, I suppose, is deciding that maybe you've outgrown your home or maybe you need to downsize, downsize so people stop using your home as the gathering place, whatever the reason may be. Step two is to call Emily Johnson Rhodes Real Estate, 890-1455. She is there from beginning to end. She doesn't hand you off. She doesn't have a team of people that you talk to most of the time, but then you see her at the beginning and the end. She is your personal assistant through the entire process, and she's going to walk you through it in a way that gets you the best home possible for you. And also, if you're selling your home, Emily Johnson's record on average, 15 days, 98% of the selling price homes that she lists. It's Emily Johnson, Rhodes Real Estate, 890-1455, and you can like her on Facebook as well. Eric Burleson with us, a couple minutes left this morning. Is there anything you wanted to throw in? I didn't want to dominate the direction of the conversation. You don't certainly don't have to.
No.
There's plenty of...
We could go into the gun conversation. That would take a long time.
Yeah, we were talking about it a little bit off air, and we can
Second Amendment stuff.
But. And this once again, I talked a little bit about Parson seeming to say, "Well, I need to talk to the state legislature and get them to stop youngins from having guns and so forth." And it is to me a fantasy world that some people live in. They think, you know, you've got these 12, 13, 14-year-olds that are in gangs and drugs and everything else in the inner city,
right.
And they're shooting at each other, that because you say you can't do that anymore, they'll say, oh, okay. It's just, what world are you living in?
Right.
And then the refrain is always the same, well, we must do something.
Right.
I mean, I want to get rid of every politician or anyone that says that as their answer. When they realize they don't really have facts on their side, well, we have to do something.
How about enforce the existing laws? Which is what, you know, Attorney General Eric Schmidt, to his credit, he's saying, let's start enforcing
right.
these laws. There's plenty of
let's
laws
do that
out
and
there
see what happens.
To enforce.
And go from there.
Yeah, let's try that for once. Let's actually try that. And then if we still have got an issue, we can talk about it. But just passing a law that makes it more difficult for a law-abiding citizen or person who doesn't want to be a member of a gang.
Right.
Right? So there's RICO, which is, mm-hmm. you know, a way in which you can prosecute people under gang-related activity. But that's what's happening. Inner city St. Louis, Kansas City, they have a gang problem. And they're not they're not prosecuting these people for drug offenses.
So all the rules get changed for the rest of us. It's like when you got the bad kid in class and everyone gets punished for it. That seems to be the approach here.
Right.
Senator Eric Burley.
Yeah. Which ultimately you need to ask, why are these, what's the underlying problem that's causing these kids?
But it's much easier to say we just need new laws. And right. That's part of the problem here, is looking for an easy answer, not even one that works, but just one that you can say so you can show we're doing something. Because finding the underlying purpose, oftentimes what it does is it leads people in power to realize, if they're honest, that there's nothing they can actually do as a government entity on it. Yeah. And oftentimes they'll be called racist. If you really start going through and looking at some of the underlying problems, and they don't want to deal with that. So let's just create a new law that says you can't do that. And that seems to be the answer, unfortunately. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
You too.
All right. And then hopefully we'll have you back for Christmas.
That'd be wonderful.
All right. Sounds good. It's a deal, State Senator Eric Burleson. We've got our Santa Angels locations at KSGF.com. Please check that out. Help us out there. Glenn Beck's next. I'm Nick Reed.